Welcome to Nuanced Judaism, coming to you from OU Torah.
I'm Simi.
And I am Rivka. Hi, welcome back. Well, first of all, thank you for the great feedback we got on the codependency discussion we had last week. This time it's Simi's turn on the relationship-based themes. So go ahead, what do you have to say?
So the idea I wanted to focus on sort of emerges from an interesting idea, I suppose. There's this concept that you bring a certain sacrifice, a certain carbon, when you do something in a when you're unsure whether you did something or not, and it's not doing something by mistake. It's more like you're unsure. It's called an asham toloi.
This is in the temple times,
right?
And where someone may have transgressed something, and they're not sure if they did.
Correct. Now, there's in some way it's more serious. Then it's treated more seriously than if you know you did something wrong. And putting the whole idea to sacrifices to one side, meaning looking at it as a dramatization of a symbolic idea that we're supposed to incorporate, even though we're not actually, you know, killing animals right now, but the principles can be abstracted and learned from.
Just as alive as then.
So this idea of, in some way, it being more of a problem if you're unsure whether you did something wrong, then whether you know, look, I did that wrong.
Okay, so an asham toloi is a sin offering for a type of thing that you're not sure if you did wrong or not. And you're saying that in certain halachot, certain aspects of it are more severe, are more stringent than the sacrifices and the korbanos that you would bring if you're sure you did something wrong.
Right, right. And the idea that I want to sort of build off this is something that Rav Hirsch develops in this respect. And he develops it in the line of the less conscious you're living is an indicator of a complete disconnect from the active religious life. What I mean by that is that the focus of a person's religious life should be active living.
Conscious.
Conscious living. But when I say conscious, I mean the principle that Judaism rises and falls on is your ability to choose, your ability to bear responsibility. And the less conscious you are, the less of you is involved in your life.
Well said, well said.
So what you have here is in your relationship to God and your moral life, if you're not actively thinking, things can just happen. Habits can build on you.
And then you're not sure if you did something
and,
or not.
And that really, exactly, and that really is a really dark root that can become part of your life. Now, if I translate this into the world of relationships, if you're not, now this, as I say it, it blossoms into many different directions, but if I'm not present in the relationship, if I'm not active in my focus on the relationship, what ends up happening? Things sort of like go down the road of the least resistance.
They get eroded or they build up, I would say.
What do you mean they get eroded or they build up?
So I'm just looking at a house, for example, or a construction site. Certain things over time, if not given conscious care, they erode. Your wood on your porch or stone in a construction site, they can erode over time with wind and rain. And then they're not as sharp or as clear as what they were before. However, other things like calcium in a pipe or dirt in a corner can build up if not given conscious care. So I think the same thing is in personalities. Certain things can erode, like your pleases and your thank yous. Suddenly they can just kind of fall away if you're not giving them conscious care. And other things can build up, like having too many drinks in the evening or watching a little too much if you wanted to spend time, you know?
Okay, I like that. The two metaphors, the metaphor of build-up and the metaphor of
erosion.
It's interesting,
where were you going with
that? I was taking it in the direction that when you're dating, there's a certain tension. There's a certain, you're confronting someone. You're not going to war, but there's a certain expectation. There's a certain tension that's there that keeps both of you on your, not best behavior, that's the wrong word. But
you could fail. You are able to fail.
Exactly. And the danger, at least when I speak to certain people who, when they get married, there's a certain anti-climax that comes along with it naturally, because you're married now. And the danger that comes along with that is that once you're married, you've ticked that box. You're okay, now
happily,
what?
Happily ever after.
Exactly. And then what ends up happening? There's no tension. There's no, not excitement. There's nothing holding you to account, which means you run the risk of developing a certain distance purely because the person you're involved with isn't holding you. There's no risk. There's no danger. There's no There's no war happening in the best sense of the word.
You can't fail.
Exactly. You can't fail because you're already married. In which case, if there's none of that holding you because it's all been taken care of, you run the risk of looking for excitement elsewhere. You run the risk of, and I'm not talking about infidelity, I'm talking about just finding vibrancy in other areas of your life. And I think
thereby neglecting the things that made you guys hold you, held you together, or building up things between you.
And to draw it just a second, to draw it straight back to the original idea of the Sophic being worse, in some way, this is really dark because you lose the ability to recreate and fix. So when the same way if a person says, listen, they had an argument with their partner, their spouse, whatever it may be, it's like, okay, that can be dealt with. There was clearly
fire there.
Exactly. But this idea that you're not present and you could literally continue your life going down the road living with someone in a way that there'll be no vibrancy, there'll be no illumination to your lives, you'll look for excitement elsewhere, be it, I don't know, even in learning can take the crutch for your relationship, and thereby everything that you just either go down the slope of least resistance, either that'll be an area that you already struggle with, or you'll find another crutch.
It's interesting because this is something that I always tell my students, is that your spouse is going to be hopefully the person that knows you the best. However, and this is very important, your spouse doesn't know you completely. You don't know yourself completely. You and your spouse are a soul which is constantly regenerating, which means done correctly, you can constantly be interesting to each other. So what you're saying is not in a bad way that a marriage has to keep you on your toes and keep you behaving. Of course, you're supposed to be completely comfortable with each other. But it's supposed to be a constant reconnection.
Reciprocal discovering.
Yes, discovery, reconnection, not boring, not same old, I know you already.
Interesting. So the idea of this is one of those things that you I think you've phrased it before, there should be a certain black box. Not black as in negative, black boxes in what they had on planes. There's a certain thing that keeps track of things that isn't accessible.
Oh, black box like on planes, got it.
That's not accessible. People don't look at that. And you recognize that your partner, your spouse, has that area that you don't have access to that keeps the excitement alive in getting to discover who they are. And that discovery takes presence, takes conscious being with.
Correct.
And so just to relate it back, I'm constantly relating it back to my point to make sure it actually does fit nicely.
Yes.
And in the way that unsure whether you did something wrong or not is a symptom of your lack of presence in a marriage, the same thing is true. Unsureness about where you are together, what your point...
You're saying if he hurt her feelings, he should be sure he did. Not maybe she minded, maybe she shouldn't.
Beautiful.
Like,
beautiful.
Oh, I was 3 hours late, but I don't think she cared. That's much worse than, oh my gosh, I was 3 hours late. That's a bad thing.
Right.
Okay, that's very poignant. So, and by the way, can I just mention something to what you said before? Is if I see that my partner is looking to me to recreate myself and from my black box be interesting and interested, I will become that type of person.
Oh,
if you have those kind of conversations that are, well, what do you think? What would you have done in this situation? I had this situation. How would you have reacted?
Active questions.
I'm interested in you. I will become the type of person to look at the world that way. And then I'll come in the evening. By the way, you asked me that the other day. You can't believe it. It actually happened to me. And this is what I did. What would you have done? You become much more active.
Interesting.
And then it's the opposite of what you were just saying before, that the passive, I don't even know if she minded or not.
Very good.
Yeah.
See, you should have done this one.
No. You brought it up. It's just a big topic, the consciousness.
So maybe let me play that through again. In terms of a solution to, not a solution, right, but immunization to this, is the one thing you just said, which is treating the other person as having a black box. Thereby, they become the type of person who wants to demonstrate that they have a black box. This sounds so strange out of context of these
metaphors. They have the ability to renew and have new ideas and new opinions.
And so I think that's a very internal way of, even though it's stimulated from an external standpoint, of active questioning, of being interested and recognizing the unknown nature of the other. But I think a very practical, even like obvious answer is date night.
Okay, yeah. So
you mean treat the other person... Yeah. Not as the husband, wife, one, depending on your roles, that one goes to work, one looks after the house, and that's your role.
The happily ever after syndrome, I would say.
And rather look at each other as being in a constant romantic experience that just takes a lifetime to go through.
Nice. Well said. Because in a way, you would say, okay, so then why get married? Because marriage is the ultimate, okay, now we settle down. Oh, if we're settling down, now we're settled down. That's boring. But what you're saying is then almost synthetically infuse the romance again. Even if it looks contrived. Oh, we're going on date night. Well, we're married already. Why do we need a date? No, actually, yeah. Because I'm dating your black box.
That fits in beautiful.
I'm dating your consciousness. I'm dating the thing in you
that... I'm practicing being present.
Exactly. I'm practicing being present with you, which also shows that with date night, you shut off your phones and all that.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother discussion about relationships.
Letting others into your life.
A whole nother relationship talk.
So have a... That's good?
Yeah, perfect. Have a wonderful week.
Have a great week.